Brothers and sisters, we welcome you most warmly to the First Presidency's Christmas devotional. As we enter into this beautiful season, we are grateful for the opportunity to gather with you and reflect upon the birth, life, and mission of our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. The music for the devotional will be provided by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Orchestra at Temple Square, under the direction of Mac Wilberg and Ryan Murphy, with Clay Christiansen at the organ. The choir will open this meeting by singing, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing." The invocation will then be offered by Sister Reina Isabel Aburto, Second Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency.
Thank you. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee for this privileged and glorious opportunity that we have to gather together so we can remember and reflect on the birth of our Savior, thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his divine mission and for the infinite virtue of his atoning sacrifice. We thank thee, Father, for the example that he has set for us and for all that he has done to show us the way back to thee. We thank thee for our prophets, seers, and revelators, and for all the hope and the guidance that we receive from them. We ask thee to please bless us so we can be sensitive to the promptings that we are going to receive from the Spirit tonight. Please help us to have the desire and the determination to go and do the things that we are going to be inspired to do. Please bless all the people in different parts of the world that are going through hard circumstances so they can turn their heart to thee and thy Son, Father, so they can feel the peace that only comes from thee and our Savior, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost. Please bless us so we can go and light the world and reflect the light of our Savior as we do small and simple acts of service for everybody around us. And we say these things humbly in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The choir will now favor us with "What Shall We Give?" After the singing, we will be pleased to hear from Sister Christina Frankel, who serves as second counselor in the Primary General Conference presidency. Following her remarks, the choir will sing "Glory to God." We will then hear from Elder Kevin R. Duncan of the 70, and the choir will sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Incense and spices and gold. I love seeing children's excitement and anticipation throughout the Christmas season. I remember my own anticipation as a primary child growing up in Argentina. One year, our primary teachers asked us to clean our old toys, wash our dolls' hair, and repair their dresses so we could donate them to little boys and girls who had to spend Christmas Day in the hospital. During the week, as I was cleaning my old dolls, my mom asked me, what was I doing with them? I explained what our primary teachers had asked us to do, and she replied, you should also give one of your nice toys to the children. To that, I responded, why would I do that? Right? Then she said something that has remained with me all these years. She said, Chris, it is really good to give something that we truly like, something that's hard to give because we are fond of it, something that would be a sacrifice. That is what our Heavenly Father's gift was for us. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, not just any Son. He sent His Son, His beloved one, and perfect Son, so we can go back to live with Him once again. That year, as I gave one of my favorite toys, I understood a little better our Heavenly Father's gift to us, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lovingly and selflessly gave His life for us. Every year, as part of our Christmas celebration, my dad would read out of the scriptures the beautiful account of Luke. Excuse me. Close. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, that these were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Brothers and sisters, how can we today enjoy this same peace and goodwill toward men? As I have pondered this question for the last several weeks, having in mind that Christmas is the season to give, three gifts we can each give came to mind. We, of course, give these gifts throughout the years, but at the wonderful season of Christmas, we remember the Father's gift of His Son and consider how we might follow their example as we increase in their individual ability and desire to give. Number one, Christmas is the season to give love. Our Father in heaven and our Savior Jesus Christ are the greatest example of love. A beloved scripture teaches, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our Savior taught us by example to love everyone. He also taught us to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Elder John A. Witzel explained, quote, "The full and essential nature of love we may not understand, but there are tests by which it may be recognized. Love is always founded in truth. Lies and deceit or any other violation of the moral law are proofs of love's absence. Love perishes in the midst of untruth. Thus, he who falsifies to his loved one or offers her any act contrary to truth does not really love her. Further, love does not offend or hurt or injure the loved one. Cruelty is as absent from love as truth is from untruth. Love is a positive active force. It helps the loved one. If there is need, love tries to supply it. If there is weakness, love supplants it with strength. Love that does not help is a faked or transient love. Good as these tests are, there is a greater one. True love sacrifices for the loved one. That is the final test. Christ gave of himself, gave his life for us, and thereby proclaimed the reality of his love for his mortal brethren and sisters." Close quote. Our Father in heaven invites us all, his children, to give of and sacrifice for this love. "Give," the Savior said, "and it shall be given unto you. Freely ye have received, freely give." Number two, Christmas is a season to give service. Our Lord and Savior ministered personally to the people, lifting the oppressed, giving hope to the discouraged, and seeking out the lost. He gave sight to the blind, healed the sick and the lame so they could walk, and raised the dead. At Christmas time, I think of the missionaries, elders, sisters, sister missionaries, senior couples, and mission presidents who, throughout the world, as representatives of Jesus Christ, give freely of their time and service to all mankind. I think of all the brothers and sisters who spend many hours serving faithfully in their callings. Also, at this time, I think of all the men and women serving in the military to ensure our safety. Thank you for your service. But even if we are not serving the Lord or our country in full-time service, our opportunities to serve are limitless. Kind words and deeds can lift burdens and cheer up hearts. Our Father in heaven invites us all to give service, and when we do, the King shall answer and say unto us, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Number three, Christmas is the season to give forgiveness. Forgiving others brings peace and joy to our lives. President Heber J. Grant taught, "There is nothing that will bring us more of the Spirit of God than to be kind, considerate, charitable, long-suffering, and forgiving. There is nothing that will bring you more joy to us than to be ready and willing to forgive the trespasses of our neighbors against us. And there is nothing that will bring more condemnation to us than to harden our hearts and be bitter and vindictive in our feelings towards those by whom we are surrounded." Close quote. In order to receive forgiveness for our sins, we need to forgive others. Forgiving others allows us to overcome feelings of anger, bitterness, or revenge. And who wants to feel those feelings at Christmas? Forgiveness can also heal spiritual wounds and bring peace and love that only God can give. Our Father in heaven wants us to repent and forgive everyone, including ourselves. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland said, quote, However late you think you are, however many chances you think you have missed, however many mistakes you feel you have made, or talents you think you don't have, or however far from home and family and God you feel you have traveled, I testify that you have not traveled beyond the reach of divine love. It is not possible for you to sink lower than the infinite light of Christ's atonement shines. Brothers and sisters, at this Christmas season, let us all give the best gifts. Let us sacrifice our grateful hearts, with grateful hearts, our favorite toys, not the ones we've worn out. And let us give the gift of love, the gift of service to those around us, and the true gift of forgiveness. For as we repent, the Holy One of Israel forgives us. I testify that He lives. He is the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our friend. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
No little boy looked forward to Christmas more than I did. I loved it. And my parents were masters at turning our home into a cozy little winter wonderland. There were the decorations, the music, the lights, the goodies, and of course, the presents. Oh, how I looked forward to the presents. Every year, I faithfully made a wish list of my heart's greatest desires. Because we lived on a farm, each Christmas morning before we opened our gifts, we bundled up warm to brave the freezing winter weather and attend to our farm animals. Nothing was better than finishing our work and hurrying back inside to delve into the magic of the morning. I was just beginning to learn about this man, Jesus Christ, whose birthday we were celebrating. But it seemed like a pretty good deal. It was his birthday, but we got all the presents. What child didn't love that? Christmas was everything good. Thankfully, with the passage of time, my understanding of the Savior increased. His birth and his birthday, his life and his miracles, his power and sacrifices, his atonement and resurrection. But mostly, his majesty and his incomprehensible love. Yes, Christmas was everything good, but that was simply because Jesus Christ was everything good. Or better said, Jesus Christ was everything wonderful. Like many young people, I looked forward to serving a mission with great anticipation. But my first Christmas away from home was a bit of a shock. In the months leading up to my 19th birthday, practically all I could think about was getting on my mission. I was younger than most of my classmates and friends, and many of them had already left on their missions, leaving me behind. I felt like I was ready to be a missionary too. The only thing standing in my way was that 19th birthday. After what seemed like forever, my time finally arrived and I entered the MTC. In early December, I found myself on an airplane flying to my mission in Santiago, Chile. I was on my way at last, and what was even better, Christmas was right around the corner. I was confident that I was ready for the most glorious experience of my life. But as I stepped off the plane, I quickly discovered that things were very different than they had been back home in Utah. Yes, Christmas was right around the corner, but it felt like the middle of summer. Where was the snow? Where were the boots and the coats? I was quickly swept up in the challenges of the work. I was suffering from jet lag and sometimes found myself falling asleep during our teaching appointments. The culture was different. The language was a mystery. It certainly didn't sound like anything I'd learned in the MTC. And the food was unique. And speaking of the food, my companion and I must have eaten something bad because both of us became terribly ill. Then on top of everything else, during one of my first nights in Chile, we experienced an earthquake. It was my first Christmas away from home. I was extremely sick, lying in a bed in an unfamiliar country and trying to understand a language I could hardly decipher, living with another person I still barely knew. Was this what missionary work was all about? And why had I been in such a hurry? Yet, despite all of these challenges, I was beginning to love the people of Chile with all my heart. They were so wonderful and so easy to love, and many of them were hungry for the message of the Savior. In the raw, real world, where people were desperate for the message of a Savior, somehow Christmas trees and stuffed stockings weren't nearly as important as they had been before. If Christ had left his heavenly home and come to earth to suffer and die for us, I could certainly leave my home and put up with a few little discomforts to share his wonderful message. That Christmas taught me the pure joy of helping people obtain Heavenly Father's greatest gift of all, his glorious plan of happiness. And happiness, I discovered, was the one thing that everyone wants most, not just at Christmas time, but always. A few years later, after my mission, I found myself facing a new challenge. I was depressed, tired, and lonely. Several months earlier, my wife of less than 2 years had been unexpectedly killed in an automobile accident, leaving me and our 7-month-old daughter alone. I was a student at the university, studying, working, and struggling to learn how to become a single parent. Christmas was approaching, and while others were leaving to return to their homes to be with family and loved ones during the holidays, because of work commitments, I had to stay at school. I felt lonely and very sad. Christmas came and went, and then time continued to march on. Almost 1 year later, as Christmas was again approaching, I found myself still single. Now, the scriptures say it is not good for man to be alone, and I wholeheartedly agreed. I needed a companion, and my baby daughter needed a mother. I reasoned, well, I might not be much of a catch, but what woman wouldn't want a real live baby girl for Christmas? Not just a doll, but the real thing. And thankfully, if someone wanted the baby, well, I would be part of the package. I had had my eye on a young lady named Nancy in my biology class, but it was nearing the end of the semester, and I still had not mustered up enough courage to talk to her. Heaven must have been on my side, because one day, purely by chance, we happened to be exiting the testing center at the same time. This was my opportunity. I struck up a conversation with her, and later that night, I called her. I asked Nancy on a date. We went on one date, and then another, and then another. However, I knew Christmas was approaching, and Nancy would be going home. What could I do to keep this little spark alive and growing that was just beginning to develop between us? I came up with a plan. With the help of Nancy's sister and her boyfriend, I would secretly surprise Nancy with a gift on each of the 12 days leading up to Christmas. My plan worked. Nancy was receiving gifts, but she had absolutely no idea where they were coming from. It became a mystery her whole family was trying to solve. Nancy's sister and her boyfriend promised they would not disclose their involvement. It was truly a secret combination, only one with good motives. However, one night, the family hit on a clue. The doorbell rang, the family rushed to the door, and they caught sight of a car speeding away. They took down the license plate number, and the next day, they called the driver's license bureau to find out who owned the car. They discovered it belonged to a family member of the sister's boyfriend. Well, the cat was out of the bag. Nancy's sister and her boyfriend came forward and admitted their involvement in my scheme. But secretly, I was happy because that I'd been discovered because Nancy and I were able to spend Christmas Day together. And from that time, we continued our courtship. And just as I had hoped, Nancy did want a real live baby girl for Christmas. She loved my daughter as though she were her own. And fortunately, I was part of the package. We were married the following summer, and it was one of the best gifts I have ever received. I was experiencing Heavenly Father's great plan of happiness. I had an eternal family, and we were sealed together forever. The gift of eternal marriage and family is a gift that all faithful will receive either in this life or in the next. And what greater gift could there be? As I reflected back upon my days of loneliness and sorrow, I realized that Jesus Christ had at one time felt abandoned and alone as well. He, more than anyone else, knew my pain. Even during my times of greatest loneliness, I had never felt abandoned by him. He was not only my Savior, he was my brother and my best friend. Our little family began to grow, and a few years later, I was again confronted with yet another great anxiety. As Christmas was approaching, Nancy and I looked at each other, and we realized we did not have one spare penny to spend on Christmas presents for our younger children that year. I had recently graduated from college, and we were still trying to get on our feet. Although I had good employment, it soon became obvious that the high cost of living was beyond our budget. The only thing going for us was that we were full tithe payers. Although no one else knew of our plight, Heavenly Father and the Savior did, and they began to send little Christmas miracles. One day, the doorbell rang. It was a neighbor holding a box of toys. She said, "We've been cleaning out our house, and we came across these toys that our children no longer want. We were wondering if your children might like them. Would they ever?" Another day, the doorbell rang, and this time, they were members from our ward. They were standing there with a little girl's bicycle. They said, "We do not need this bicycle anymore, and we thought of your family. Do you think your daughter could use this?" We were overjoyed. A few weeks earlier, our son had entered a coloring contest at a local store. We received a phone call one day with the exciting news that he was the contest winner. He had won a popular children's video. We were stunned. All of these little miracles. Our children would have a few Christmas gifts after all. We had paid our tithing, and Heavenly Father and the Savior had opened the windows of heaven and poured out their blessings right down the chimney. I reflected that the Christ child was born in very humble circumstances, yet others found him and offered precious gifts as well. As an earthly father, I wanted so desperately to give my children all that I could. Our Heavenly Father feels the same, yet his love is perfect. He desires to give us all that he has. It is an incomprehensible gift. Brothers and sisters, all of us at one time or another have or will feel lonely, sick, depressed, poor, or far from home. And thankfully, we have an eternal Father and a Savior who understand us. As we go to them, they will take us by the hand and help us through every challenge. And brothers and sisters, at one time or another, we will all know someone else who is lonely, sick, depressed, poor, or far from home. And our Father and the Savior may direct us to help others, and it will be our privilege to do so. As a child, I thought Christmas came just one day a year. As an adult, I now realize it is Christmas every day. Because of the benevolence of a loving Heavenly Father and a beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, we are the recipients of a continuous flow of heavenly gifts every day. Heavenly gifts too numerous to mention. My gratitude for the Father and the Son is so immense and so profound that, like Ammon of old, I cannot say the smallest part that I feel. Yes, it is Christmas. It is Jesus Christ's birthday that we celebrate each Christmas season. But because of the goodness of the Father and the Son, we still get all the presents. Of this I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We express appreciation to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and orchestra at Temple Square for the beautiful Christmas music they provided this evening. The concluding speaker for the devotional will be President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Following his remarks, the choir will sing Silent Night, with the congregation joining in as directed on the third verse. Brothers and sisters, it is our hope, our sincere hope, that each of you may be blessed to experience the peace and joy that are manifest through the redeeming love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Following President Uchtdorf's remarks and the closing hymn, the benediction will be offered by Brother Brian K. Ashton, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. President Uchtdorf.
My dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, we bring you the greetings and blessing of our beloved prophet, President Thomas S. Monson. He is grateful for your prayers and love at this Christmas time and always. I've always loved this time of year. This first presidency Christmas devotional has become a beloved tradition for many, including my own family. We look forward to ushering in the Christmas season with the sublime music of the orchestra at Temple Square and the always amazing Mormon Tabernacle Choir. The messages and the music help to set the tone for the Christmas season and remind us of the profound significance of what and why we celebrate. And the same is true today with this beautiful music and the wonderful message we have already heard. In my early childhood, my Christmas wishes always included a picture-perfect winter. And I'm not alone with this. But to me, this meant frosty winter air, crisp blue skies, and a thick blanket of fresh white snow. Instead, the weather almost always differed from my winter wonderland dreams, often with gray, foggy skies, slushy, wet snow, or even rain. Nevertheless, on Christmas Eve, my mother would bundle us up in warm winter clothing, and our father would walk with us through the streets of our town. We children knew the real reason for this annual walk. Mother needed time to decorate the Christmas tree, put the gifts under the tree, and prepare our living room for the holy night. We tried every trick to make this walk as short as possible. But our father was extremely creative in adding another loop or one more turn to give mother the needed time. In those days, the streets of Zwickau, Germany, were quite dark in the evenings. This was just after World War II and street lights were scarce. Only a few shops were open and some were located next to bombed out houses, which still had the strange smell of war. There was one part of the walk we all liked a lot. A stop at the cathedral in Midtown Zwickau, where we listened to beautiful Christmas carols and majestic organ music that always seemed to be playing on Christmas Eve. Somehow, this music made the humble lights of our city appear suddenly so much brighter, almost like sparkling stars, and filled our young hearts with wonderful spirit of anticipation. By the time we returned, Mother was finished with her preparations and we would file into the living room one by one to behold the wonder of the freshly decorated Tannenbaum. Trees were hard to come by in those days and we took whatever was available. Sometimes we had to add quite a few branches to make it look like a real tree. But to my young eyes, the Christmas tree was always perfectly glorious. The flickering lights of the wax candles brought a mysterious, almost enchanting glow to the room. We looked with excitement and delight for the presence under the tree and hoped that our secret wishes would be fulfilled. The excitement of receiving presents was almost matched by the thrill of giving them. Often these gifts were handmade. One year, when I was very young, my present to my brother was a picture of him I had drawn. I was very proud of my masterpiece. And he was very kind and gracious in his words of gratitude and praise. I was always treasure these sweet memories of my early childhood in East Germany. Christmas traditions are celebrated in the cultures and nations of this world in amazing, unique ways. They are each beautiful and remarkable and still are very different. But they all have a common feeling, a common spirit that always seems to be present when we celebrate the birth of Christ, the King, our Comforter and Confidence, the Consolation of Israel. There are many words one might use to describe feeling, this special feeling. It may be joy, hope, anticipation, good cheer. Each of these captures part of what we call the Christmas spirit. To me, one word describes best the feelings we experience at Christmas time. That word is love. After all, the gift that we celebrate at Christmas is a gift of love, God's gift of His Son. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Touched by that love, our hearts soften. We feel a tenderness that causes us to reach out to others in kindness and compassion. Christmas inspires us to love better. Even as I say this, I acknowledge that the word love is inadequate. In English, as in many other languages, love can mean many things. For example, I might say, I love the weather. Or, I love your new outfit. Or I might even love the smell of a newly opened can of tennis balls. But the love of which I speak is something far more profound. Our mortal concept of love is a speck of sand on a vast seashore compared to the love God feels for us. His love is infinite and inexhaustible compassion. Divine love fills eternity. It overflows with eternal grace. It reaches out and lifts up. It forgives. It blesses. It redeems. Divine love transcends differences in personality, culture, or creed. It refuses to allow bias or prejudice to stand in the way of imparting comfort, compassion, and understanding. It is completely devoid of bullying, discrimination, or arrogance. Divine love inspires us to do as the Savior did. Succor the weak, lift up the hands which hang down, and strengthen the feeble knees. This is the kind of love we strive for. It should be our defining characteristic as individuals and as a people. We may not be able to develop a fullness of divine love in this life, but we should never stop trying. If there's a season of the year when we get a little bit closer than any other, it might be Christmas time, when our hearts and thoughts turn to the birth of the living manifestation of divine love, even the Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me share a story to illustrate how this love can work in our lives. On Christmas Eve, 85 years ago, during the Great Depression, a city commissioner was inspecting the roads of Salt Lake City after a winter storm. While he was driving, he spotted a little boy at the side of the road, standing in the bitter cold with no coat, no gloves, or boots. The commissioner pulled over, invited the boy into the warmth of his car, and asked him if he was excited for Christmas. The boy replied, "We aren't going to have any Christmas at our home. Daddy died 3 months ago and left Mama and me and a little brother and a little sister." The city commissioner turned up the heater in his car and said, "Now, son, give me your name and address. Somebody will come to your home. You won't be forgotten." The city commissioner also happened to be a stake president in downtown Salt Lake City. He had been working with members of his stake to provide food and gifts to families who were unable to provide for themselves. The boy was not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but that did not matter to the commissioner. That night, he and one of the bishops in his stake made sure the boy's family received a well-filled Christmas basket. The encounter with this boy deeply affected the stake president. It made him more determined than ever to seek out and relieve suffering wherever he found it. It became actually a hallmark of his life. The city commissioner's name was Harold Bingham Lee, and 40 years later, he would become the 11th president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. President Lee was a central figure in the development of the church's vast program to relieve the suffering of those in distress and to help all of God's children to become more self-reliant. Toward the end of his life, President Lee said that he understood those who suffered and yearned for relief because of his own poor and simple beginnings. "It's not how much you have, but how much you love." I think I know how President Lee felt. My family also lived in very modest circumstances at times. Twice within 7 years, we fled our homes as refugees and left everything behind. In West Germany, we lived in a rented attic in an old farm building. It had two small rooms, and all of us slept in one bedroom. The space was so tight, I had to walk sideways to move between the beds. My mother had a hot plate that served as our stove. And when we wanted to go from one room to the other, we had to walk through an obstacle course of farm tools, assorted chests, and various cured meats hanging from the ceiling. Once, when I was sick and had to stay in bed all day, I watched the mice who shared our attic race across the floor. Water had to be carried up to our rooms. And the bathroom was an outhouse across an open courtyard next to the barn. On Sundays, we walked a couple of hours to get to our church building in Frankfurt and back. Rarely could we afford to take the streetcar. I still remember those days with both heartache and joy. My parents did the best they could to provide for us, and we knew they loved us. Yes, these were times of great need, but I consider them happy times because I could feel the love we had for each other, for the Lord, and for His church. There's no shame in being poor. Remember that the Savior of the world was born in a stable and laid in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Then, a short time later, he and Mary and Joseph became refugees, fleeing to Egypt to seek protection from the murderous Herod. During his public ministry, Jesus walked among the broken, the hungry, and the sick. His days were filled with ministering to them. He came to proclaim good news to the poor. In many ways, he was one of them, for he too had nowhere to lay his head. He praised the destitute widow who, out of her poverty, tossed her two mites into the Jewish treasury. And one of his last messages in mortality was that our very salvation depends on how we treat others, especially those who are considered the least. Because inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of them, he said, ye have done it unto me. A 19th century English poet wrote these lines. Amidst the freezing sleet and snow, the timid robin comes. In pity, drive him not away, but scatter out your crumbs. All have to spare, none are too poor. When want with winter comes, the loaf is never all your own. Then scatter out the crumbs. Soon winter falls upon your life. The day of reckoning comes. Against your sins, by high decree, await those scattered crumbs. Regardless of our position in life, every one of us is a timid robin, a beggar before God. We depend on his grace. It is by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Savior, as part of the great plan of happiness, that we have hope of salvation and mercy. This spiritual gift inspires us to keep God's commandments and reach out with compassion to those around us, even if all we have is a handful of crumbs. We gladly share them with those in emotional, spiritual, or temporal need as an expression of our gratitude for the divine feast God has prepared for us. During this beloved Christmas season, it is fitting that we take delight in the lights, the music, the gifts, and the glitter. This is all part of why we love this time of year so much. But let us never forget that we are disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, the living Son of the living God. To truly honor his coming into the world, we must do as he did and reach out in compassion and mercy to our fellow man. This we can do daily by word and by deed. Let this become our Christmas tradition, no matter where we are, to be a little kinder, more forgiving, less judging, more grateful, and more generous in sharing our abundance with those in need. May the contemplation of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem inspire us to be more like him. May Christ's mission and example cause our hearts to swell with divine love before God and deep compassion for our fellow man. And may we ever scatter out our crumbs with greater generosity and unceasing love. This is my prayer and blessing this Christmas season and always, in the sacred name of our Savior, our Redeemer, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh, Our dearest Father in heaven, we come before thee with grateful hearts for the gift of thy Son and for the love that thou hast shown us by sending him and allowing us to be blessed so abundantly. We recognize that our gifts and our blessings come from him, because of him. And we pray at this Christmas season that we might receive of the divine nature and show more love to others and to serve and to sacrifice in a manner that is pleasing to thee and that will lift others and help them to know thy love for them. We pray, Father, that we might share the gospel of happiness, that we might follow the counsel of our prophet, our dear prophet, and rescue. And Father, we pray that we might be thankful and show that thankfulness through our actions in serving others. We love thee, and we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.